Okay, so I've been listening to Julian Blanc for the past week at work. I get 8 hours a day to basically listen to podcasts, and you might be like, "Okay, what job is that?" It's a factory job. So, I don't get paid to listen to podcasts, but I kind of do in a way. I also just have to do repetitive work. So it's pretty much the best option for that I have right now. So yeah, I've been listening to Julian Blanc, Julian himself, for the past week, and I've learned a lot of things. I've taken a lot of notes. I have my notes in front of me. If you're listening to this, then have no fear. The video version is on YouTube, but I'm not going to be editing it. This is going to be an hour-long podcast, and I'm not going to be like doing anything besides moving my hands around. So we'll start off with this. This is going to be an overview of the biggest themes and the biggest lessons I've learned from listening to Julian himself. And we're going to start with what is the most really fundamental idea that he has. And we're going to just keep on building on that and keep on letting these ideas mesh together so that hopefully you can come to a similar conclusion that I did. And you can use this knowledge to actually further your life. And then in the description of this video and podcast, I'll actually leave below two of his videos. One will be called The Gap Method, which I found to be a very good video. Also, the video that inspired this podcast, because he said something about an hour-long podcast as a tool to develop yourself. And I'll touch on that more later, as well as more later, such as a list of how to love, as well as, let me just look through my notes. Later in this podcast, you can expect a blueprint for how to love and honor your present moment. And you can also expect some distinctions that will completely change your life. Distinctions between certain types of comfort and other things, etc. Blah, blah, blah. So, we'll start off with this. I've learned a lot of things from Julian himself, but one of the biggest things is that he's against saying, "I don't know." He's against saying, "Okay, I have this problem. What is it? Blah, blah, blah. I don't know." Because what does "I don't know" do? "I don't know" moves you on to the next thought, right? It moves you on to the next thing. And yes, it's okay to admit when you don't know something, but if you truly want to know that and figure it out and it's a problem of yours, then you really should ask yourself, why? Why? So, what he says, instead of saying "what now," say "why." You need to follow the trail of whys, he calls it. So, what you do is, let's say you have this core belief that you're not enough, right? And then you ask yourself, okay, why? Why am I not enough? And then you just listen. You listen to the thoughts in your head. And they might say, okay, well, you're too short. You got a weird haircut. Your voice isn't deep enough. Your friends didn't like you in the past. And now you have some stuff to work with. Then you say, okay, why does being short make me not enough? Why do my past experiences with friends make me not enough, right? And then you just keep on following that trail of whys, and then you'll eventually get to that core problem, that thing that really matters, that thing that is really gonna, if you focus on that, is going to solve your problem, right? So he says that an exercise that you can do this with is, okay, so you have these core beliefs, right? And if you don't discover these core beliefs with the trail of whys, then you can't do this next step. But the next step is, once you've identified what triggers you, what is hurting you, let's say if you ask the "why am I not enough" question, and then you figure out, okay, my problem is I need approval, right? I need approval too much. And then what you can do is use his formula. His formula is action, trigger, release, repeat. So in simpler terms, basically what you're doing is, you're saying, okay, I have this need for approval. You're going to do an action that triggers that need for approval. Let's say an exercise that I saw he is having people do is, you change your Instagram profile to a picture of you making like a quadruple chin. People listening on a podcast, you're not going to see it, but like that kind of face. So you change your profile pictures to that, and you make the caption, "I sure am looking handsome today." And that's just, it's so weird. But it's going to trigger that need for approval and control over that approval inside you. And it's going to bring up a lot of stuff that wasn't there previously. So that's the action. And then that's the trigger as well. So you're putting in that action to make that weird face, post it online, right? And then it triggers something within you. And then what you need to do is you need to release it. So this is where stuff gets interesting. When these feelings come up, you're going to try and link them to past childhood experiences, as well as you're going to try and link them to logical beliefs. It's like, okay, if I need approval, why do I think I need approval? Well, maybe it's because I want to rise in a status hierarchy. I want to rise in dominance as a human being. I want the approval of others so that I can be accepted by the tribe, so that I don't die, right? When you're a kid and you're in class and some kids figure out that you like somebody, and then they say, Mason and sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-D, right? That's probably happened to so many people. When you're a kid, that need for approval is massive, because what is life as a kid? Life is the classroom, right? So if your entire classroom is freaking you out over this need of approval, then it's going to stick with you, and that's going to become a core belief, right? So that's the first step to release, is becoming aware of it. And then what you want to do is you want to focus on it. You want to let that feeling overtake you, and then you want to release it. So what he does is he does a pranayamic breathing pattern. So it's a breathe in for 6, hold for 3, breathe out for 6, but breathe out by going shh, like breathe out as shh with your mouth, and then hold for 3. And you just do that and just let the feelings go out, and you just let go of them. That's the biggest theme is let go. Just let go of the things that are holding you back, because they don't serve you anymore. Because at one point they did serve you. That's why you have the belief. That's why you held on to the belief, because at that time it was very vital to your survival. But if something's vital to your survival in one moment, that doesn't necessarily mean that its necessity is going to carry over to the next moment. So it might be wise to do a audit of all your beliefs and really understand, okay, all are these things still serving me? And the ones that aren't, you let them go. You put in the action to trigger yourself, and then you release that emotion, and then you repeat it. That's the fourth step, repeat. You just keep on doing this until you become more whole, more expressive, more you, right? You let go of these beliefs that are no longer serving you, and you use that to grow. So, like I said, search your childhood for your core beliefs, trigger and release them. You need to think back on your childhood. There's a series of shadow questions, which I'll also get to later in this podcast. But you need to search your childhood for these core beliefs, right? And you need to trigger them, and you need to release them. Because if you don't do this, then you're going to be constantly living in a reality that is bounded by the past, right? A lot of people will say, just be present. Well, if you don't release these things in the past, if you don't focus on these problems of the past, if you don't process them, if you don't let go of them, then you're going to create a present and a future that reflects that past. And you're going to be forever stuck in that chained past that you were in, right? So another big theme of his is it's not the thing, it's the place it's coming from, right? So, for example, a good example of this is your speech, right? It's not the speech itself. It's the vibe you're giving off, right? So I could say, let's say I wanted a cup of coffee, right? I could say, can I have a cup of coffee? Versus, hey, can I have a cup of coffee, right? That was obviously a little bit inauthentic, because, I mean, it's hard to act out a genuine thing. But, hey, can I have a cup of coffee? Versus, hey, can I have a cup of coffee? It's taking versus giving, right? Even the insecure voice is a taking voice. The giving voice is a strong, bold, confident voice, right? So it's not the thing itself, because the structure is the same. It's the place it's coming from. It's the vibe. It's the whole entire, it's you where it's coming from. And if you're not whole on the inside, then you can't express yourself in a whole way, and you can't give value to the people around you, even with speech that delivers value. So you need to deliver it confidently. It's the thing it's place, or it's the thing it's coming from, the place it's coming from. So you need to dissolve that inner split between the front that you put up and what you want, right? So you're going to put up this front in order to get what you want. But who's to say that that front is necessarily serving what you want? If you were to let go of that front, drop that front, who's to say that that wouldn't actually aid you in getting to where you want to be, right? So as well as with the personal growth work, it's not the thing, it's the place it's coming from, right? So do you want all this personal growth because you don't feel good enough? Or do you want it to honor the present moment, right? More on that later. But if you aren't doing things out of love for yourself, out of love for the present moment, and if you're doing things just because you feel inadequate, let's say you want to build a body that is strong, muscular, aesthetic, and you want to become as healthy as possible, and you want to get these social skills, but you want to do it because you believe fundamentally that you as yourself are not good enough, right? Just doing those things is going to further reinforce that belief that you're not good enough, right? So it's like repeating a mantra. It's like, I am good enough. There's still going to be that little voice that says, no, you're not, no, you're not. So that's what your whole entire everything is just going to be an uphill battle, because it's not the thing, it's the place it's coming from. So you can say, okay, I am good enough, but I want to honor this present moment, and I want to honor myself and become the best version of myself that I can possibly be for the sake of itself, not for the sake of me not being good enough. It's growth motivation versus deficit motivation, right? Is it growth out of lack or growth out of the desire to grow, right? Growth out of lack is toxic, because it's coming from a place of necessity. It's coming from a place of hunger, right? And what is hunger? Hunger is insatiable, right? You fulfill your hunger and then it'll just come back, right? So that's why you see people with body dysmorphia, these huge jack dudes who still believe they're skinny, right? Why? Because they started building that body with the belief that they are not enough, right? They started building that physique for the purpose of becoming enough, right? And then they realized once they got there, I'm still not enough because I still don't believe I'm enough, right? So wherever you go, there you are. That's another thing. Wherever you go, there you are, right? So no matter what you build, no matter what progress you make, unless you change the inside, how you feel about yourself, you're still going to suffer. You're still going to be unable to be full. You're going to be insatiable, right? But if you think you're enough, you're going to get out of your own way. It's not going to be an uphill battle. You're going to say, okay, I want to build a body for the sake of it, right? Yeah, it's going to help me in these ways in my life, but I'm not doing it just for that. I'm not doing it just because I can't get that now, right? I'm doing it because I want to, right? It's not out of lack. It's out of abundance, right? So in order to dissolve this inner split, to drop the front, right? To drop that set of beliefs that are no longer serving you, but you may think are serving you, to drop that fake you, right? You need to dissolve the inner split and move toward, not away. You need to move toward, not away. So in order to move toward, you need to move into your problems, right? A lot of people, like I said, they just think, okay, I'm gonna get present, right? I'm gonna focus on the breath, right? If you focus on something, let's say you focus on my finger or you focus on my voice for long enough, eventually everything around you is going to start fading away, right? Your problems are going to go away. Your thoughts are going to go away. Everything's just going to disappear for now. But then once you leave that frame of mind, it's all going to come flooding back, right? So you need to move toward your problems, process your problems, not away from your problems. You don't want your meditation practice to be a form of escapism. You want your meditation practice to be something that you can use to process yourself and something to grow yourself, right? So there's a difference between meditation where you're just trying to get present, right? Versus meditation where you allow those thoughts to come up and you just feel through them, right? So common thing that you'll see in meditation is a lot of people just say, get present, get present, get present. When in reality, what you want to do is you want to get to that state of presence, yes, but then use that to become a vehicle for your emotions, to move toward your problems and then process them and let them go, right? Unless you have a physical problem that you need to solve, right? If it's a core belief that's no longer serving you, then the problem is that and you need to let go of that, right? So move toward your problems, not away. And then there's another concept that's very important called collaboration over competition. Yes, we live in a competitive world. Yes, you're in competition with your best self and your worst self. Yes, you're in competition with all the men around you, all the women around you. Yes, but at the same time, we're in a collaborative world. How were cities built? How were nations built? Collaboration. Yes, there was that underlying competition, but without collaboration, there's nothing. Right? So you need to reframe your beliefs where it's like, okay, I want to become the best man that I can be for the sake of itself, right? And you can take two different approaches to that. You can say, I'm in constant competition with everybody around me. I need to compete. I need to compete. I need to compete. I need to beat him, beat him, beat him. Why not collaborate with people that are better than you in order to compete with people that are better than you? Right, so collaborate, and instead of trying to take, win, it's a win for everyone, right? But at the same time, you're growing, right? So there, the competition is really, there's a layer of collaboration over competition that really separates those people who win from the people who don't win, because a lot of people will get so stuck in competition that they think it's just them. Right? And then they will never build a network. The classic saying, your network is your net worth. You become an average of the people that you surround yourself with. All those concepts, that comes down to collaboration. Yes, we live in a competitive world, but without collaboration, there's no value that's built. There's no winners, right? And then you have to ask yourself, okay, to find these core beliefs, this is a very interesting exercise. What movie character am I? What movie character do I identify myself with the most? What movie character did I find the most inspiration with when I was younger? For me, I kind of like Iron Man a lot, John Wick. I like ninjas, warriors, stuff like that, right? So in order to learn about yourself, right, you need to just like look at that character, right? Look at that archetype and say, okay, how is this archetype manifesting in my current reality, right? So if it's for you, if you're like, I really like the Joker, right? Then you're kind of going to be more that self-deceiving artist, right? You're going to be that person who builds something amazing and great and then takes it all down, right? Takes it all down. We all have a certain aspect of that in us, a certain aspect, that villain, the shadow, right? So for me, when I realized, okay, I really like Iron Man. So what is Iron Man? He gets these massive problems, and he sees it and he's courageous in the face of that. But, and then I realize, okay, in my life, how am I creating these massive problems? When I have a simple problem, an easy problem, a small problem, I catastrophize it and I make it into this big monster, this beast. I describe it with great detail. I describe it with this disgusting thing, right? So one of my biggest problems was waking up early, which I overcame today. And I was constantly like, this has been my biggest problem for the past 5 years. I need to overcome this and then everything will be solved, right? So I'm creating this monster. And then what happens when there's a monster in front of you and you haven't even slayed the little monster, right? You get stuck, you get frozen. You're like, I can't do that, right? So you need to take those little baby steps in order to succeed. But if you're constantly catastrophizing your reality and making this massive monster out of it, right? Because you see yourself as that Iron Man, you need that massive monster, right? Who is Iron Man without defeating those little monsters? They just don't show that. They don't show that little stepping up to that moment so that he can be courageous in the face of that massive monster, right? So what you're doing in your life is you're turning all your tiny problems into massive problems, right? And you're catastrophizing your reality in order to feel like you're the hero. But then what you're doing is, since you didn't take those little steps beforehand, you didn't slay those little monsters, you didn't take care of those little dragons, all the little dragons that you're turning into big dragons are going to do nothing but frighten you and keep you in the same spot that you're in, because you're going to get analysis paralysis. You're going to stay the same because you're going to look at your problem. You're going to say, that is too big for me. So you need to take your problems for what they are, solve them one by one, and the bigger problems will come as they come, right? And just quit catastrophizing your problems. So that's the biggest thing that I learned from the whole Iron Man thing. For you, you could also have seen yourself as other superhero, Spider-Man, right? Constantly looking to get bit by the spider. Constantly looking for that thing that's going to just change their entire course of their life, right? So you might find that in yourself. You're looking for something external that's going to just finish everything. You're looking for that last bit of knowledge that's going to push you over the edge, right? When in reality, who's going to push you over the edge? You. The only person that can push you over the edge is you. The only thing that can push you over the edge is you. That's where you need to be living, just beyond your edge. This is a very common theme in all of everything. What is courage? Courage is the ability to stay in a state of just beyond your edge, right? So if you're constantly looking for that magic pill, that magic solution, that spider bite in order to become the Spider-Man in your life, right, then you're never going to find it. Because what is a magic pill? The magic pill is you yourself pushing yourself beyond your edge, not looking to externals to validate your existence, right? So you need to do the work on yourself. You need to push yourself beyond the edge. That's what courage is, right? Courage is a self guided pushing beyond the edge, right? It's done by you. Yes, you can get people around you that support you and hold you accountable, more on that later, but the real key is to support and be accountable in yourself so that you can be courageous enough to not need that magic pill. Be your own magic pill, right? Be your own spider bite so that you can allow yourself to become Spider-Man, right? With the Iron Man, if you slay those smaller monsters and keep them as they are, you think small problems don't come to Iron Man? Yes, of course they do. So you need to take them as they are and keep on building that up, building that up, building that up, because obviously the more problems you solve, there's going to be bigger ones, right? This is the Hydra problem of life, right? So you solve a small problem, then two bigger problems are going to come up. You solve those problems, two bigger problems are going to come up, right? So you have constant challenge no matter what you're in. This is the infinite problem of life, but it's also the infinite beauty of life, right? So what happens is you solve a problem, you get two bigger problems, solve another problem, get another bigger problem, right? So what you need to do is you need to just solve the small problems. Because if you never take that step to just solve the small problems, if you're constantly making those small problems look like huge monsters, you're never going to allow yourself to become Iron Man, right? So figure out what movie character you resonate with the most and see how that's limiting you, see how that's helping you, and see where it's guiding you, right? So common ones, Iron Man, which is the need for a massive challenge, as well as the self-limitation. He's allergic to iron and he has an iron heart, right? So that's a constant self-limitation, right? So you might be addicted to self-limitation in some way. You might feel like there's something within you that's haunting you, right? Question that. What's haunting you, right? Why do you resonate with that iron heart that you're allergic to, right? And why do you need to be allergic to it, right? Why do you not question that? So yeah, common ones, Iron Man, Spider-Man, John Wick, Hulk. Just find out what it is and find out the pros and cons of each character and how that's running you in your life. And then we have the levels of transformation. So this is very, very important. This is insanely important. When I came across this scale, I was completely in awe at the accuracy and the brilliance of this scale. It's fantastic. So it's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 level scale, which I see a lot of it draws a lot of knowledge from different scales, such as Spiral Dynamics, Suzanne Cook-Greuter's 9 Stages of Ego Development, as well as the Levels of Consciousness by, I forget his name, Richard something, I think. And it draws on these common themes, and I think it really puts it into a great lens for the modern individual to look at and to see and to really audit their life and see, okay, where am I at on this scale and what advice do I need to give myself in order to grow to the next level, right? So if you give a person at the bottom of the scale the advice at the top, then they're going to be analysis paralysis, right? They're not going to actually make it to that next level because they need to climb the scale. It's not a 1 to 10. It's a 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 to 7 to 8 to 9 to 10, right? So what you need to do is you need to understand this scale, understand where you're at on the scale, and then move to the next level, not to the next third level, the next fourth level, right? So I'll explain this scale to you, in as best detail as I can. Julian does it really good. I think in the gap method, he explains it. If not, that's a video I'm going to link below. If not, just look up levels of transformation, Julian Blanc. He explains it very well, but I'll explain it pretty good here. So you start off at the bottom. The bottom is apathy, right? I'll just take you through all of them. It's apathy, grief, fear, anger, courage, desire, purpose, and love, right? So you start off at the bottom. It's apathy. You feel hopeless. You feel like life is worthless. You feel like there's nothing that you can do in order to just live, right? You feel like it's nothing. Like, this is often where suicidal people reside, hopelessness, all that stuff. And if you're in this state, is it a good idea to tell them, okay, you need a purpose in life, right? No, because that's too much at once, because they're in a state of complete hopelessness, complete rejection, complete nihilism, and they don't want to make progress, right? They don't feel like it. So what type of advice should they give them? Well, the next stage is grief, right? The next level is grief. So what do you tell someone who's in apathy? You tell them you're a victim. It's not your fault. It's the government's fault, right? It's your parents' fault, right? So you see this in a lot of self-help. It's like, okay, blame your parents, right? Blame your parents for your problems because they raised you and it's all their fault, right? So that'll move people out of apathy to grief. But the problem is, in the self-help world, this whole idea gets criticized, right? This whole idea is like, okay, well, if you just think you're a victim all the time, then what the hell, you're never going to make any progress. But if you're in apathy, moving up to that victimhood level is actually going to be a step for you, right? So if you feel hopeless, if you feel like life has no meaning, if you feel on the verge of suicide, you're a victim, right? And that's the next step for you to take, right? And then from victimhood, you can't stay in there forever, right? Because if you stayed in victimhood forever, then you would never make progress out of that. You would stay in that horrible space, because obviously at the lower levels, a step is a step, but if you just stay there, it's obviously going to still make your life a living hell, and it's going to make your, if anything, if you stay in victimhood for long enough, you'll just fall back down to apathy. So you need to make that next step, right? And this is where most of self-help resides, is in this area of grief to fear, right? Moving up from grief to fear. They say, you need to step it up, take responsibility. You can't be a little victim. You quit being a little bitch, all that stuff, right? So you move up to that level, but then you're still bounded by fear, right? You're all like, okay, I need to take responsibility. I need to get my life right, but I'm scared of doing that, right? I'm scared of living just beyond my edge. And then after that, the biggest transformation, once you move from grief to fear, is you move from fear to anger, right? So you start getting angry at yourself. This is the level of the self-critic where you're like, I'm not good enough. God, I hate myself. God, I wish I was better. You get angry at your past self. God, I wish I did better things, right? And then you get angry at your present self saying, I need to shut the fuck up and just get this shit done, right? So you move from that level of self-hatred up to that level, or you move from that level of fear, being afraid of making progress, to that level of anger. I need to get this shit done. Oh, I need to prove them wrong, right? So you need to, like, you get this desire, this deep, deep desire to just be angry and just to get everything done and to prove everybody wrong, to prove yourself wrong, right? So this is a big transactional, competitive level in the levels of transformation. So yeah, fear to anger. And then from anger, the next step is courage. And this is when you start getting out of your own way, right? So you start moving out of anger when you start saying, okay, why am I beating myself up, right? It takes courage to say that. We say, why am I beating myself up? Why am I being so mean to myself? Why am I pushing myself so hard? Why do I need this discipline when most of the problems that I have are just me being in my own way, right? So there's anti-self-sabotage advice, which is, I'm punching myself and I'm fighting this hand, versus I'm punching myself. Why am I punching myself? I'm going to stop punching myself, right? So like the whole problem of discipline, you need to get up early, prove them wrong, get this shit done, rather than, why don't you just get up early? Get out of your own way. Why don't you just do it, right? So that's moving from the anger level to the courage level. It's just, why don't you just do it? Be courageous, man. You don't need anger to face fear. You need courage, right? Anger is good. Anger is motivational. And you can use these different levels of transformation at different parts of your life, right? But it's good to move up on the scale over time, and let's say you're in courage, let's say you're in a state of, okay, I'm going to use courage to move on to different levels in my life. But there's still going to be times where you feel angry, and you can use that as an excellent source of motivation. Yes, use those lower stages as motivation, but still be mindful that, okay, I cannot stay there because it's going to hurt you, right? So if you're constantly criticizing yourself and hating on yourself, then it's just going to reaffirm the belief that you're not good enough. Because it, like I said earlier, it's not the thing, it's the place it's coming from. So if you're in this state of, I need to do this because I'm not good enough and I need to prove myself wrong, it's like there's still going to be that little voice that says, yeah, but no matter what, you're still inadequate. You're still not good enough, right? So you need to move up that courage level. This is when you start breaking out of that. It's not the place, or it's not the thing, it's the place it's coming from. You start breaking out of that and start saying, okay, why am I in my own way? Why don't I just let myself expand into whatever I want myself to be, right? Why don't I just let myself do that? And then you just courageously let yourself do that rather than holding yourself back and fighting yourself all the time, fighting that fist that's, or fighting your hand that's constantly punching you, and you're holding back that hand. Why don't you just drop the hand? Just let it be, right? Why don't you just get out of your own way? So from courage, there is a next step, and that's desire. That's when you start saying, oh, okay, well, I'm starting to get success with this whole courage thing. I'm starting to actually like make some progress just getting out of my own way. Like, I wonder what I could do now. I wonder like, to what extent could I level up my life? Going from courage to desire, you're gonna be like, whoa, this actually works. This whole getting out of your own way thing. Like, I'm actually gonna start making a lot of progress with this. Like, I'm gonna start doing a lot of stuff. And people start selling out to the desire, right? They start just letting themselves expand into whatever they want, right? And it's just a constant doing whatever you want, getting everything done, becoming whatever you want. And you just, this stage is awesome because you're making so much progress. But then from desire, the next step is purpose, right? Because desire with no purpose may be guided in the wrong direction. So some people may be desiring the wrong things. They may be desiring something that's going to make the planet worse, right? A worse place. It's going to make people's lives worse, right? It's going to make their life worse, but they are just desiring this thing because they can get out of their own way and they can let themselves expand into this abundance, right? But the next step is purpose. So you can give yourself a line to travel on, a path to travel on, right? You need to give yourself a path to travel on so that you can allow yourself to expand into that abundance, but in a direction that is good for you and that is good for the world, right? So you're purpose driven, you're driven by a vision, right? You want this vision, not because you're not good enough, but because you want to create this vision because you're a creative person and you want to expand your potential into this beautiful thing, and not being bound by desire, but being fueled by purpose, right? And then from purpose, you might say, okay, what's next? What can you do outside of Earth to move on from purpose? Like, purpose is the highest thing, right? It's, you need to find your life purpose. You need to find your life purpose. No, the next thing is love, right? So you can still have that purpose. Still have that purpose. This is important to keep on to the desire. Keep holding on to the desire. Keep holding on to the purpose, right? These are useful tools. Use the courage, right? But the next step is love. Why are you doing all these things? Is it because you want to get better in some way? Is it because you want to fulfill some inadequacy? Remember, it's not the thing, it's the place it's coming from. So from purpose to love, the step that you're making is, okay, I'm doing this all to honor myself, to honor the reality that I've been given, right? I'm doing this all out of love for this gift of life. Rather than this purpose-driven or desire-driven, you are driven by purpose, you are driven by desire, but that's rooted in a baseline love for your gift of life, gratitude, this state of just loving everything that is. You feel bad one day, you love it because that's a step in your journey. You feel some sort of way that's going to hurt you, or you feel some sort of way that's good. You love it all equally because it's all this gift of life that's been given to you, right? So that's the levels of transformation. I'll just go through it one more time. Apathy, grief, fear, anger, courage, desire, purpose, love, right? So those are the stages, and find out where you are on the stages. Write them all down. I highly suggest, if you didn't write those all down, like, literally go back in the podcast and just write them all down. Write a little description of what it is. And then there's certain levels of advice for where you're at, right? So if you're at that point where you need that courage, you need that anger even, or you need to move yourself. Let's say you're suicidal, then you need to move yourself to victimhood, right? Stay there for a couple weeks, right? Think of all the ways that you're a victim, right? And then move up after that to anger, is it? No, fear. Move up to fear. Fear and anger are very similar in their stages. So you move up to fear, right? And then you're like, okay, well, I'm scared, but I need to take responsibility. And then you start getting pissed at yourself. You're like, okay, I need to take responsibility. Like, I need to get the fuck, I need to start doing this shit, right? So you get pissed, but then you move on to that desire and that courage to just get out of your own way, right? But if you go from apathy, hopelessness, I need to get out of my own way, right? You're going to be laying in bed, then doing what, right? So you need to move through those stages to learn the lessons at those stages so that you can be better equipped at the higher stages. And so that you don't get analysis paralysis. You don't see that massive problem in front of you, say, I need to get there. And then you never do because you never climb the steps, right? If you want to get up to this certain height, right? And you can either climb up it slowly or someone's going to launch you there. But there's no one to launch you there, right? So you need to climb up slowly, okay? So yeah, just audit yourself. See where you are on that list. I highly suggest you write all those down. See where you are. Let's say you're in anger. I was in anger and I'm moving up through courage right now. And I have burst of the love where I have little moments throughout my day where I do things just to honor my present moment. And that's my underlying motivation. I have a purpose. I'm driven a lot by my purpose, but I'm also in that state. I was in that state of anger very much. And I was also bounded by fear very much, right? So I need to just focus more on that courage stage because that's what I'm lacking, right? That's where I'm lacking. Although I do have a little bit of that love, a little bit of that purpose, because I've literally pushed myself so much over the past 4 or 5 years to get that stuff, right? I don't have as much as I could because I'm really underworked when it comes to the courage, right? So audit where you are and then take that level, see where you can move up to, and then use that advice for that level, right? So you move from fear to anger, start criticizing yourself, right? In a healthy way, obviously. And then you move from the anger to the courage. Get out of your own way. Courage to desire. Let it be your reality. Let it overcome you. Let it make all the progress that you want. And then get a purpose once you're in that flow state. And then after you're getting that purpose, do it out of love for your reality, right? So that is the whole entire levels of transformation. I hope that's interesting and helpful to you. I found it extremely interesting and helpful. Okay, so when letting go, do not engage the mind, right? So I was talking about this whole letting go idea, right? It's very important not to engage the mind when you're letting go, right? So that's why I was saying do that pranayamic breathing, right? You can also use this state of not knowing, which Leo Gura talks about, where you get into this present moment and you kind of just forget about the past. You forget that even exists. You forget that you're on a planet. You forget that you're a human being. And you get this in the state of not knowing, which is this pure presence, right? And then you use that as an empty vessel to process your emotions. You don't think through your emotions. You feel and then you let go and you just, blah, just let them all out. You know what I mean? There will be a lot of crying, a lot of stuff like that. And it's very important to just not think through the emotions, not logic through the emotions. That can be helpful. But the real key here is to just breathe in and then breathe out all the emotions and just let go of that thing that you're holding on to, right? Because it's not a logical problem. It's an attachment problem. You're attached to these bad childhood beliefs. You're attached to them. It's not that you're logically messed up, which you could be. Yeah, it's good to, that's why I said it's good to logic sometimes. But the real key here is to just let go of your attachment to those beliefs by breathing in through them and just letting go of that attachment. It's an emotional process, not a mental process, right? So you don't want to engage the mind. So get in that profound state of not knowing. Leo Gura has videos. I probably won't put it in the description, but look up The Power of Not Knowing by Leo Gura. It's like 2 hours long. If you have the time to listen to this podcast this far, then come on, you have the time to listen to that. So you should really listen to that. He has a guided not knowing meditation in that video. Just look that up. Not knowing Leo Gura, or not knowing actualize.org. That's the name of his channel. And or watch the video, The Power of Not Knowing, and it will teach you so much just about how to get present, and not in a way where you're forcibly getting present, a way where you just let go of all your beliefs that you're this human on this planet and you have a past and you have a future and you just get here, right? You get in this profound state of not knowing. And another way to do it is to use guided meditations. And below this podcast, below this video, I will be dropping Julian Blanc's guided meditation, right? I'll be dropping his guided letting go. It's 36 minutes long. I did it once. And I did it myself once because I kind of memorized it a little bit, but I would still do the guided one because engaging the mind isn't a good idea while you're letting go. Obviously, we already went through that. But yeah, the guided meditation will kind of just make it so that you don't need to use your mind in order to get through that state of letting go, right? It'll make it so someone else is doing the process for you, so all you have to handle is the emotional work, right? All you have to handle is getting those emotions up and then letting go of them, right? And they'll guide you through the he'll guide you through the process. I'll link that video below. It's so good. I used it one night and I cried myself to sleep. Happy tears. So yeah, and then some really important things you can do is ask yourself shadow questions. So in order to find those core beliefs, right, this is how you're going to do it. You're going to ask yourself shadow questions. You're going to ask yourself, why is success not for me? Why am I not good enough? What am I hiding? Why does life have to be hard for me? Why do I hate myself, right? So you ask yourself these questions. Write all these questions down. Why is success not for me? Why am I not good enough? What am I hiding? Why does life have to be hard for me? Why do I hate myself, right? So write all these questions down. And when you say, why is success not for me? There's going to be that voice that says, well, yeah, it is, right? But then there's also going to be that voice, if you listen very, very carefully, who says, you're fat. You're ugly. You're stupid. You're not good enough, right? So it's going to say all these things. So you ask these questions, you listen for that voice, listen very carefully, and then write down all the things that come up. And then that's something that you can let go of, right? So, or something that you can process. You say, okay, what childhood experience led me to believe this thing, led me to believe that I'm ugly, let's say. What childhood experience was it? Or is it valid? Am I actually ugly? But then what actual value does being ugly have, right? Why would you let that dictate your life, right? So you need to ask these questions and then work through them, right? Work through the answers that you get from your shadow. So work through the answers that little voice that is suppressed back there is saying, right? Another good exercise is to do a death meditation. So convince yourself that you're dead and you've died, and then reflect back on your life. This is kind of like that state of not knowing, where it kind of brings you out of that bubble that you're in, and you can kind of view yourself from third person. This is a Stoic exercise as well. They do this third person visualization where they view themselves from above, the viewing from above. So that's a good way to do it, is to pretend that you've died, right? Pretend that you have literally died and you're looking back on your life and you're just audit your life. Okay, what was I doing that I shouldn't have done? If I would have done this, then where would I be? Do you have regrets, right? So what's holding you back? All these things, you're going to learn so much about yourself if you view yourself outside of yourself, if you view yourself as if you've died, right? And then you're going to kind of let that go, and then you're going to come out of it and you're going to be like, dude, like, there's so many ways in which I'm just taking life for granted, and I could be doing these things, expanding my life so much, but you're not doing it because you have gotten so stuck in your bubble of life. How about you get outside of it so that you can see from above really what you can do? A good exercise for when you're at courage, I'm actually going to do this very soon, is to write out your higher self motivation and write out your lower self motivation. So what you can do is you write your higher self motivation, which is kind of like a purpose-driven type thing. why do you want to grow your YouTube channel, Mason? Well, because I really want to help a lot of people. I want to help as many people as I can. I want to deepen my reverence for life so I can help others to do the same. I want to guide people through life in a way that's interesting, that breeds their curiosity, that makes them really like interested and engaged with life, but also helps them and heals them in some ways. And I also want to make people become the best versions of themselves in different ways, in physical ways, in their health ways, so that they can live an all-around holistic and good life. And then you say, okay, Mason, write out your lower self motivation. Well, it's like, I want to get money. You know what I mean? I want to, I haven't considered the lower self motivation as much, but yeah, I want to get money. I want to, teach people so that I can lead. I want that feeling of leading, right? I want that. That's like a lower self thing that I want. I want a lifestyle that's fun. It's more fun, right? Yeah, so that's pretty much the lower self motivation. A lot of it is just money, right? But that doesn't detract from the higher self motivation, because if you have both of them, right, then you really understand, okay, well, I want this and I want this. And that's who I am. I'm not a completely good person. I'm not a completely bad person. I fall somewhere in the middle, right? Because everybody's like that. You have the capability for extreme violence, and you also have the capability for extreme good, right? Everyone has this, right? Just some people manifest more violence, manifest more good. How about you stay in the middle ground and use your lower self motivations to serve your higher self motivation, and vice versa? Unless your lower self motivation is something like killing people or something like that. Like, don't let that happen. Like, no. If your lower self motivation is, say, money, then if you have a higher self motivation that balances that out, that polarizes it effectively, then who's to say that that's a bad thing, right? It's actually a good thing. Knowing those two things and then using that to be courageous and to let yourself expand into whatever you can be, right? So yeah, self-author, Jordan Peterson, his programs. I'm thinking about buying them, because that's kind of like, you write out your dream vision and you write out your horror vision, and that will really help you, just guide you into where you want to be, because we're mostly motivated by horror, because we're in a state of fear at all times, because we're humans, we're self-conscious, we understand that we are going to die one day, right? So if you understand that there's going to be a horror if you don't do what you should do, but a dream if you do do what you should do, then you can use that vision, that love, as well as that horror, that hate, to motivate you. And you get that that middle ground that's really good for motivation. For example, a rat. If a rat is solving a maze just to find food, right, they're going to run pretty fast, right? So that's that higher self, that dream vision is that food, right? But then if you spray cat odor in the maze, the rat's going to run way faster, right? Because it's afraid. It has that horror. So it's running from the horror vision as well as running to the dream vision. So it's most motivated when you are, the rat is most motivated when it's running from horror and moving towards the dream, right? Not necessarily running from horror. It's more like courageously facing it, right? Because if the rat could just sit there in a corner when it smells that cat odor, right? Just sit there in the corner all scared, or it could run through there as fast as possible courageously, right? So that's that courage that you need in order to effectively use that horror vision and move toward your dream vision. Loving every emotion is the end goal, pretty much. Like I said, equanimity with yourself. If you feel angry one day, if you feel down one day, if you feel grief-stricken one day, and it's all about loving that and then honoring that and then feeling through that and then becoming who you can be, right? Honoring that emotion, saying, okay, I feel angry today. Awesome. Great. I'm going to use it to the best of ability that I can, and I'm going to use that to move up as a person, right? So you move up by letting go. You move up in your life by letting go of all the things that are holding you back, right? That's the essential key to traversing the levels of transformation, is you move up by letting go of certain beliefs, certain conditioning, certain ideas, and certain things that no longer serve you, right? As well, but you can keep holding on in some ways to things that do serve you, but you need to let go of your attachment to them, right? Let go of the attachment, use it when it's useful. That's pretty much the whole key. RAS, reticular activating system. What are you focusing on? What lens do you see reality through? Research the reticular activating system. It's basically the part in your brain that makes the lens on reality. It makes you see, okay, focus on everything that's red in your current present moment. You're going to start noticing all kinds of red things that you didn't notice before. So that's your reticular activating system. Focus on the positive. You're going to start seeing way more opportunities. Focus on the negative. You're going to start seeing way more reasons to be a victim, right? That's not to say to be toxically positive, but that's also to say to habituate more positive thinking in your life, right? It's a good thing to think positively. To think positively to the point where it hurts you? No. To think positively to the point that it helps you? Yes, obviously. And then I wrote out all my childhood dream careers to find out what I value. So I wanted to be an astronaut, a Lego designer, an inventor, and a ninja. And I figured out, okay, well, these things all have common values, right? They value physical fitness and health, right? I can't be an astronaut if I'm unhealthy. I can't be a ninja if I'm unhealthy or not physically fit, right? Exploration, mystery, courage, fighting, dexterity, creativity, creating a fantastic end product, empire building, awe, wisdom, truth, helping others, honor, respect, principled living, mastery, action, self-control, vision, self-mastery, non-conformity, and camaraderie. Like these things, before I've written out my top 10 core values, but I use this list to revise my top 10 core values, and this list gets me hyped up. Like I'm feeling excited right now after reading that. Like this list gets me hyped up. And I some of those I took out for my top 10, obviously, because that's more than 10, but man, those things get me hyped up because my childhood dream careers reflect what I truly value in life. So you need to figure out, okay, if I want to be a ninja when I'm younger, I need to be physically fit. I need to be healthy. I need to value mastery, right? These things excite me deep down, right? So you need to write these things out, see what you value, and then be motivated by your values. That's another way to move up. Move up by letting go of your old values that you think serve you but no longer serve you. And realize what values will really serve you in the long run and then use those, right? And here we go, the podcast exercise. So start a podcast once a week, 1 hour a week. What was interesting during your week? What's funny to you? Charisma, don't be monotone, educate and entertain. This will teach you about yourself, your delivery, your social skills, and it will improve them. Can you do a solid hour? Then do 2, 3, or 4 hours, right? So here we are. This is the podcast. I'm already 52 minutes into it, and I still have a bunch of notes left. So I'm doing decent. I think I could add a little bit more humor in here, but I'll figure that out in the long run. That's definitely something that I need to work on, but I'm doing okay right now. So another good concept is 1 foot in the inner world, 1 foot in the outer world, right? So you don't want to focus all out on success because then you lose touch with the inner world. Like I said, it's not the thing, it's the place it's coming from, right? So if you're all about success, then deep down you're still going to feel inadequate. If you're all about inner work, then you're just going to be a homeless person that is really wise, right? And there may be some value in both of those things, right? There may be value in being rich, famous, successful. Not necessarily saying fame is good, but building that body, reading all those books, all that stuff. But if you're completely inner work, then there may be value in that wisdom, right? But what about the middle ground? 1 foot in the inner world, 1 foot in the outer world. Why can't you enjoy external successes while also being whole on the inside, right? That's the end goal, to be whole on the inside, but also externally to be successful, right? That's really where you want to be. So don't do too much inner, don't do too much outer. Focus pretty much equally on both of them, right? 1 foot in inner success, 1 foot in outer success. System, accountability, support. This is the SAS idea, right? So you want systems that hold you and guide you, right? That guide you to where you need to go, right? So a good system is the levels of transformation that I just described to you. That's a system that you can pretty much live your life by. There are many other systems which you can use as well, which you can kind of audit yourself, see where you're at, and then use that to move up the ladder, right? And then you want accountability. You want people to hold you accountable, or you want to use money in ways that will hold you accountable. So what you can do is you can give people money and say, okay, here's $1,000, right? And if I don't do this thing that I've been holding myself back from, then you get to keep the $1,000. Well, yeah, you're going to do the thing that you've been holding yourself back from because you want your $1,000 back, right? As well as people to just hold you accountable. My buddy Jesse actually called me at 7 a.m. today. I was already up because I went to bed at an okay time last night, and I got up feeling okay, so I was already up, but he was in place to hold me accountable. I actually asked him to call me in the morning so that I make sure I get up, right? And then you need people who also support you, because oftentimes, in order to do something that's holding you back, in order to do something, not that's holding you back, something that will push you forward, something that you've been putting off, you often just need somebody to say that they believe in you, right? I believe in you. Come on. You've listened 55 minutes into this podcast. You got it, man. If you could listen this far into this podcast, I think you can do a lot of great things with your life, okay? I seriously believe in you. So it's that support, that person that will just tell you simply that they believe in you, right? It's just like someone sending you a text. You got this, man. Like, as weird and as cringy as that is, it's also so helpful, right? People need more of that. They need more support because, like I said, oftentimes all it takes is just one person to just say, hey, you got this, right? And then you will feel like, man, maybe I do have this. And then you start going out and you start doing it, right? Then there's the gap method, which is going to be in the video below, which is where you are now and where you want to be. And then in the middle are the steps that you need to take, right? Simple as that. So, some questions for you. Why aren't you doing the steps? Why aren't you doing what's in that gap? What's holding you back from taking the action that you need to? And why are these things holding you back? That's the biggest thing. Why are these things holding you back? What's holding you back, and then why, right? So if you find out, okay, it's this feeling of not being enough that's been holding me back. And then you're like, okay, why? Why is that holding me back? And then you question that belief, and then you let go of that belief, right? And then you ask yourself again, why aren't you doing that gap? Why aren't you doing that gap? So if you aren't doing the steps from where you are and then where you want to be, then ask yourself why you aren't doing that steps. Is it that you don't really value it? Or is it that you have some belief that's holding you back, right? Don't get in the idea of if you're not doing something that it's, you don't really value it. No, it's like a lot of the time it's really you're just holding yourself back. You're not doing those steps because there's a belief within you that's not serving you, right? So the actions that you need to take are you write down the steps between the gap, right? Write down the steps that it will take to become who you need to become, or who you want to become, I should say. And then let go of what's limiting you. And then take the steps without overwhelming yourself, right? Do one little step, one little step, one little bigger step, little bigger, little bigger, little bigger, right? So you just build it up over time. So you put on the training wheels as well. So you need that accountability and support. That's like having training wheels. Use the accountability, use the support in order to get done what you need to get done, right? That's very, very important. That's pretty much the gap method summarized is where you are, where you want to be, what you need to do is in the middle, right? And then you need to use those training wheels, accountability and support. You need to ask those questions. Write down those actions. Literally, all the stuff that I just said, the questions and then the actions, write those down. Like, those are going to be so important for you. Just to audit your life and to really figure out, okay, why am I really not getting this stuff done? And I need to get this stuff done, right? So, a little lesson on humility. There's an extent to which humility is good and an extent to which humility is bad. A lot of people misunderstand humility. That's a problem. Humility is good when it's thinking less of yourself, not thinking of yourself less. A lot of people have been brainwashed into thinking that humility is to just humiliate yourself, right? It's to think of yourself as less. No, it's thinking of yourself less, right? It's thinking more out here and a little bit less in here. You can still think a lot in here, but it's a little bit less, right? And then it's also not thinking of yourself less. Still have high self-esteem. Still say, I'm the man, right? But without thinking of that all the time and letting that kind of hold you in this corner of belief, right? You want to be a little bit flexible with your reality. So stop thinking, I've heard that before. I'm above that. I get it. I know this already. The solution is just out of reach. Drop your ego, overlearn everything, and apply it. If you gave me $1 million to listen to the next minute of this podcast, you would listen with so much intention rather than just kind of dismissing it as another minute of the podcast, right? So why aren't you doing that with most things in your life? Why aren't you giving it that attention? Why are you overlearning it? Why are you saying that you're above that, right? You're not. Just absorb it. Absorb it. And if it challenges your beliefs, let it challenge your beliefs. Say, okay, maybe I am wrong. But obviously, don't just submit to everything. Really question it. Say, okay, is my belief right or is this thing right? So you need to drop your ego, overlearn, and then apply the information that you learn. As well as thinking that the solution is just out of reach, right? One more video, one more book, one more this, one more that, and I'll finally be there. No, the solution is to move up the scale, right? The solution is to be courageous enough to get out of your own way. It's not just out of reach. It's not just one piece of information away. Although information has a transformative quality, it's like the tree of knowledge bears the fruit, and the fruit, when you eat it, it transforms you, right? So the tree of knowledge, when you eat its fruit, it will transform you. Yes, right? Food has, or not food, ideas have transformative qualities just like food and water does, right? But just one idea away is a horrible mindset to have. It's like, okay, if I just had this, then maybe I would finally be there, right? It's that Spider-Man-esque searching for that spider to bite you to finally be able to expand into what you need to be. No, what you need is more courage to get out of your own way, right? What you need is maybe more anger, depending on where you're at, right? So treat yourself as you treat someone you care about. Why? Because you depend on you. You're the biggest thing that you depend on. So treat yourself, treat your reality, treat this world around you as if you were someone that you cared about. If you had a kid, if you do have a kid, right? How would you treat them? How would you support them? How would you hold them accountable? How would you try and nurture them into being the best version of themselves that they could be? Do that to yourself, because you are the biggest person who depends on yourself. You're the most that you have. You're the one who cares about yourself enough to make yourself change, right? So it's important for you to treat yourself as someone that you care about, right? That's a very, very big theme, and you should really contemplate on that. Really, if you're not taking notes on this, come on, what are you doing? Start taking notes. Like, write all this stuff down. Listen through this whole podcast again in the car or in the shower or something. Not in the shower, because you can't take notes in the shower, but take notes. Well, not in the car either. You can take notes in the car. Just listen to it somewhere where you can take notes, and take the notes, man. Write down the basic themes that I'm saying, and these things will change your life. Seriously. And then there's also how love works, right? So if you want to move up slowly to that love level, you need to understand the metaphysics of love. You need to understand how love works, right? So self-love, capital S, capital L, love, is loving your reality. It's loving and honoring this present moment as it's been given to you, because it's a gift, and be grateful for this gift, right? So you need to accept everything how it is in your current reality, because it's truth. What is truth? Truth is what it is. What has always been is your reality, right? So that's the truth. The truth is that it's here, right? So you need to accept it. And that's kind of how love works. It's accepting this here now, saying this is good enough. I am good enough, right? So expanding your eye into this whole thing, self, right? This whole bubble of consciousness, self, and then loving that with a capital L, accepting it, letting it be. That doesn't mean wanting it to be better. That doesn't mean wanting it to grow and expand. That means not wanting it to grow and expand out of a place of it not being good enough. Wanting it to grow and expand to honor it, rather than wanting it to grow and expand out of a place of lack, it not being good enough. No, it's like, this is good enough, so I'm going to make it more awesome, right? It's expansion, not contraction, right? And then here's a list of how love works, right? And how showing love is possible. So you can use this to apply not only to your current reality, to love your current reality, love life for what it is, right? But also to love others, right? So attention and awareness, giving attention and awareness to that which you love. Time, giving it physical contact and proximity. Connection, taking good care of it. This is huge. Take your care of your reality. If your room's a mess, you are dishonoring your reality. You are making it less than it should be out of a disgratitude for your life, right? So you need to take care of it, right? You see other people mistreating their bodies. They are doing that out of a lack. They feel as if they're not good enough, and their self-fulfilling prophecy, they're just making that belief justifiable with their actions, right? They think, okay, this reality isn't good enough, so I'm gonna make it a piece of shit, right? If you believe that this reality is good enough, you're gonna set standards for it, right? You're gonna not let it be anything less than good enough, right? You're gonna, okay, if my room's a mess, then I'm dishonoring the present moment. So I need to honor the present moment, keep my room clean, be fit, be happy, be healthy in order to honor my life that I've been given, right? So taking good care of it, that's huge. Sheltering it from excessive suffering, fear, and trauma. Obviously not 100%, because let's say you had a kid and you completely sheltered it from all suffering, fear, and trauma. That kid would be useless in the future, right? Not fully, but they would be essentially broken because they can't handle any type of struggle. But sheltering it from excessive struggle, right? Don't catastrophize your problems, right? That you're already suffering enough having to deal with the problem in the first place. Don't make it harder on yourself. That's just getting out of your own way, right? So sheltering it from excessive suffering, fear, and trauma, right? There's going to be a certain level of fear, trauma, suffering that you need to impose on a child, or that the world will impose on that child in order for that child to grow. If you shelter it completely, it'll be essentially useless. If you put so much trauma, fear, suffering on that child, it's also going to be fundamentally broken because it went through so much. But if you're in that position, if you've been given too much trauma or been sheltered too much, I tell you what, you're okay, because you can make it out. You can process that trauma. Or if you've been sheltered, you can build up that struggle. You can climb the ladder of problems. Just be aware and do not catastrophize your reality. Do not make your reality harder than it needs to be. If it's easy, do it easy. If it's hard, do it hard. You understand? You start with small problems, right? And then you build up to bigger problems over time. Big theme. Consciousness needs a Goldilocks struggle. Not too much, not too little. I came up with this myself. I'm actually proud of myself. You need Goldilocks struggle in your life. What's the Goldilocks zone? Not too hot, not too cold. That's where life can be, right? What's the Goldilocks struggle? Not too much struggling to the point where it's completely traumatizing and horrible, but not too little where you're stagnant, right? You need to live just beyond your edge. You need that Goldilocks struggle in your life, and that's also how you love things, right? You keep it at that level, not to the point where it's annoying and nagging, to the point where it's growing, right? You understand? Having its back, defending it with loyalty, defending this reality, come on. Taking on its agenda as your own. This is more for other people. I mean, in order to love someone, you need to understand them. You need to be able to look at the world from their place, right? Being happy when it succeeds, wanting for it what it wants for itself, sacrificing for it, supporting, nurturing, and encouraging it, respecting its sovereignty. Come on, apply all this stuff to your current reality and to other people that you interact with. This stuff is gold. Total acceptance of it as it is. That does not mean letting it be less than honoring, right? Acceptance means, okay, I accept it and I love it because it's here, right? But that doesn't mean that you can't set boundaries. That doesn't mean that you can't want it to grow. Acceptance with a desire to grow is bigger than that, right? Rather than acceptance as, you're not good enough, so you need to get better. It's more like, you're good enough, so you should live up to that standard. What the hell are you doing, right? You know what I mean? That's way better, way better. Seeing its appreciation, seeing its intrinsic beauty, not needing anything from the other, wanting to understand their point of view, togetherness and company, collaboration, being there in hard times and the lowest time, validating its feelings, how are you feeling, saying that more often, right? Meeting the person where they're at, patience with them, seeing God within the devil, right? If you see somebody dishonoring their consciousness, can you see their potential? Can you see where they could be if they started honoring their consciousness like you do, right? Or if you're a devil yourself, if you're dishonoring your consciousness yourself, can you see the God within yourself? That's the biggest thing. Can you see that God within you? Can you see that potential to grow, to become whatever you want to be, while also believing you're enough, right? and I'm not saying religious God, this is terminology, which is metaphysical terminology, right? Honoring their uniqueness, peace, telling the truth, safety and trust, seeing the other's realness and accepting its selfishness, right? If you accept the selfishness of others, that's how you can really love them, because then you can get to the root of understanding them. You can really understand why they do what they do if you understand their selfishness, right? People aren't selfless. People are selfish, and that's how it is. As well as you, you're selfish. So understand your own selfishness, and that gives you the ability to move past it, as well as other people. You get that understanding, right? Some good books to read: The Human Magnet Syndrome, Crucial Conversations, Five Love Languages, and Unscripted by MJ DeMarco. I don't know. Good book list for stuff. I have so many books. I need to read them, so I'm not going to buy those books until I finish my other books. I literally have like 70 books that I need to read. Another good rule is to be tolerant with others and strict with yourself. That's the classic Marcus Aurelius quote. But also be tolerant with yourself to an extent, but be more strict with yourself. That doesn't mean to be a self-critic. That means to get out of your own way. But also to be tolerant with others and not project your beliefs onto other people, because that will just make you suffer more because they're not ready to change. When they are ready to find the master and the leader, then they will look for that leader. They will look for that master. You don't need to become that savior that goes into their life and changes their life, right? If you're into self-development, you'll get in this whole entire trap of needing everyone around you to be successful, all this stuff. Like, no, just let go of that. Be tolerant with them and be more strict with yourself. Yes, surround yourself with people who want to grow, but don't project your need to grow on other people, because if you do that, then it's just going to make you suffer, because they don't want to change, man. Take it from me. I've made this mistake so much. They don't want to change. If they want to change, they will come to you, right? They see you growing. So lead by example, pretty much. Fear not, or quit saying and arguing what a good man should be, and just be one, right? That's the underlying theme there, right? Be the good man. Quit projecting that onto other people, because that's a false sense of progress that you're giving yourself. Your greatest fear should be scarcity. Do not allow yourself to get in a scarce mindset. Always do things out of a place of abundance. Never do things out of a place of lack, because that's reinforcing the belief that you're not good enough. Also, you were not born to be idle. Action is everything. If you're not acting on this information you're getting from this podcast, then you're doing nothing. Like, what the hell? What are you doing? You need to act. You need to act on everything, and you need to try things out. You need to work through things, all that stuff. Action is everything. Let go of when this thing happens, I'll finally be better or okay. When I get this knowledge, when I get this paycheck, when I get this next relationship, then I'll finally be fine. It'll finally complete me. No, complete yourself now with action, and then you'll be fine, right? Let go of that whole idea that you're not already complete. Are you going to get bitter or better? Develop a good mindset and habituate positivity and abundance. It's natural and okay to have negative energy. What matters is that you have awareness of how it affects you, right? Then you can act in ways that better your life despite your feelings. It takes awareness. Write out the negative stuff, then take a look at it another time and put it into perspective. Like, damn, I was kind of being foolish then, right? So you want to habituate positive thinking. You want to think positively most of the time, but it's okay to feel negative. Don't stuff down your negative feelings. If you feel negative, process it, but think positive, right? Creativity versus reactivity. Are you creating a reality around you? Are you acting? Are you thinking? Are you getting new ideas and acting on them? Or are you reacting to how the world is treating you and coming out of a place of lack, right? That's the biggest thing. Are you being proactive or reactive? Ask yourself, do I want to fix this, or am I acting in a way that is a disproportionate reaction to reality, right? Do you want to fix your problems, or are you acting in a way that's catastrophizing your reality, making it way bigger of a problem than it needs to be? Or let's say you're in a social situation, you get this crazy anxiety, right? Is that necessary, right? So you need to question that and then say, okay, I need to fix this, right? So I want to fix this, and now I'm going to process the emotions that are giving me this social anxiety, right? Process the past experiences that are giving me this social anxiety so that I can better navigate the world, right? So I can honor my consciousness and myself better, right? With awareness, habituate proactive thinking patterns and let go of reactive thinking problems, right? So you're not trying to just stuff down these negative thoughts. This is toxic positivity, because that's just going to make them resurface in more and more disgusting ways. That's the concept of the shadow. You're going to create a bigger shadow by stuffing down the negative stuff. Instead, let go of and process the negative stuff, right? And then habituate the proactive thinking patterns. Think, am I supposed to be thinking this way right now? No. Let go of that negative emotion, process it, let go of it, and then replace it and put in place, or you'll find often that naturally a better thinking pattern will be there, and install different thinking patterns at work, right? You install all these thinking patterns at work, but deep down you still have that virus in your computer. Run the antivirus, let go of it, and then you'll be much better off, right? Your reticular activating system will take your DNA and beliefs, then frame and rationalize reality to make your decision possible, right? So whatever you're focusing on will pretty much grow, right? Unless you're saying like you're focusing on your problems to process them, the processing is what you're focusing on. So that will grow, and then you'll let go of that. If you're focusing on letting go, then you'll let go of that. If you're just focusing on your problems, just the victimize yourself, then they're going to become way more massive, right? So there's a difference between processing and victimizing yourself, right? Which we discussed that earlier. Challenge yourself. Surround yourself with people who challenge you and consume and act in challenging ways, right? If you're surrounded by yes men, people who just kind of agree with you no matter what, then you're going to become dogmatic and your beliefs are going to start being too concrete, right? You need that flexibility. You need to live just beyond your edge. You need to constantly be challenged a little bit so that you don't grow stagnant, right? When having conversation, don't just relate everything to yourself. Conversation is to elevate mood, not to win something. Thriving versus coping. Focus on the environment and empathize with it. Empathize with everything around you. Try and understand it, right? Remove yourself from conversation, art. Express outward and appreciate outward. Expand all yourself to the other around you and then love it. You can still talk and be honest about yourself, but it should not be Or you can still talk about and be yourself, but it should not be the main focus all the time. You know, expand yourself to out here a little bit. When talking to people, tease and please. That's kind of a dynamic, a push-pull thing. Intention is everything. Words are just a vehicle. Like I said, it's not the thing, it's the place it's coming from. So the intent is, okay, I'm awesome. Like, here we go, I'm awesome. Or versus, I'm not good enough. You know, like, you know what I mean? So it's the intent. There is both virtue and selfishness and unselfishness, right? So you need to be unselfish enough to expand yourself outward, but also selfish enough to honor and to be the best version that you can be to honor the present moment, right? So there's selfishness and unselfishness, when examined at the deepest metaphysical levels, kind of merge in a way. And it's very interesting because selfishness, to an extent, if you have a self that is unselfish, will become unselfish. And same thing with unselfishness. Unselfishness at its core is also selfish if the self is expanded to everything, right? So it's kind of a paradox in a way. The bottom line is to take care of your consciousness. This is the biggest theme of this entire podcast. Take care of your consciousness, your bubble. This is all you've ever had. Take care of yourself and others. Overall, be a source of love for you and the world around you, right? Set boundaries so that your consciousness isn't a worse place, right? So just don't just tolerate everything blindly. You need to set boundaries that's respectful to your consciousness. Inspire those around you and build them up rather than criticizing them and beating them down, right? And reality is both competition and collaboration, right? So you're competing with everything, but you're also collaborating with everything, right? It's not always black or white. Quit, let go of this idea that everything is this or that, right? There's often a middle ground which you can find, which is much more appropriate and much more helpful in navigating reality, right? Surround yourself with people around you with similar goals. Also people that will challenge you that don't have similar goals, but also people that have similar goals. Start a mastermind group, accountability and support. Actually, in this episode, if you made it this far, I have an offer for you. I'm going to drop a Discord link in the comments below, and I highly suggest that you join that Discord. The first 10 to 20 people will get let in for free. Then after that, there will be a price point on it. I want people with similar goals to me. So if you have similar goals to me, you want to hold me accountable, I'll hold you accountable. You want some support, we want some support. You want to discuss self-improvement and get this community going, come on. I'm going to get this little, like, small accountability and support Discord server going. This is going to be dope. So yeah, honor the present moment. Do things for the experience and love, not for the lack of love. Lack and versus abundance, right? Are you acting out of lack or are you acting out of abundance? Love yourself so deeply that you do things to honor yourself. Your main focus should be honoring consciousness. It's not about getting to love. It's about letting go of not thinking you are love, right? That's a big idea. Try and process that. It's not about getting somewhere better. It's about loving the present moment and honoring it, right? Because you're never going to get to tomorrow. You're always going to be at today. So it's about living today to the fullest every single day, right? Not about wanting to be at some imaginary tomorrow. All right. So that's pretty much it. That's everything in my notes, except for this one last thing, two last things. How is what I did in the past affecting me now? Just kind of like think about that. Write it down. How is what I did in the past affecting me now? So let's say you ate McDonald's or you ate, drank this drink or you did something that is hurting you now. Become more aware of that. And in the future, you will be able to stop that much more easy because oftentimes we are bounded by this current pleasure that is holding us from this later gratification step, instant gratification versus delayed gratification dichotomy, right? And what you need to realize is the more you become aware of how these instant gratification things are actually making your life worse, the more that you can think with awareness and act with awareness of a better future and a better honored self, right? A better self in the future and think, okay, how is what I did in the past affecting me now? And how can what I do now make a better future, right? You really need to get deep on that and really start using that to think with every single action. Okay, how am I going to do something now that's going to help me later that's also pretty enjoyable right now, right? So what I'm doing right now, this podcast is helping me now, but it's also helping me later, right? So things like that is what you need to be doing. And then the last idea here is such a crazy idea. I actually came up with this while listening to Jordan Peterson. There are two types of comfort, right? There's idle comfort and there's actionable comfort. Actually, I came up with this as well while reading Toward a Psychology of Being by Abraham H. Maslow. Highly suggest you read this book. Fantastic. Very profound book. Very, very, very profound book. It was written in the 60s. It's one of the original positive psychology books, and it's life-changing. Toward a Psychology of Being by Abraham H. Maslow. There's two types of comfort. One type of comfort is idle comfort. The other type of comfort is actionable comfort. So in order to live just beyond your edge, you need to feel safe enough to move on to the next step, right? When a baby is learning how to walk, he's not going to just go out and walk and fall on his face. Yes, he may a little bit, but he's doing that within the realms or within the bounds of safety. But when is the baby most likely to walk? When there's a couch nearby or when he's moving from parent to parent, right? So he feels safe enough to take that next step. If you do not feel safe enough to do the next action that you need to do in that gap, right? If you don't feel safe enough, if you don't feel comfortable enough to do that, then you're never going to do it. So if you have this massive problem in front of you and you're like, okay, I'm not safe enough to do that yet, right? Instead of, okay, I have this little problem that I need to solve. Do I feel safe enough? Yeah. Next problem? Yeah, right? So you need to do the steps, right? You start at the bottom, step one, step two, step three, step four. It's not start at the bottom, step 100, right? Because you're not safe enough. You don't feel safe enough. You haven't traveled deep enough into the unknown to properly face the unknown yet, right? So you need that actionable comfort, that comfort by doing the small action first that will make you comfortable enough to do that bigger action versus idle comfort, which is just avoiding it altogether and just sitting there in your little bubble, hiding away from action, right? So tackle the small problems so that you can build up into the bigger problems and so that you can have the courage to navigate the unknown properly. And the more that you navigate the unknown, the more you start with these small problems, build up to bigger problems, the better you will be, the more you'll get out of your own way, the more courageous you'll be, and the better life you will live. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. This has been Mason. Check the links in the description. Peace.